Good morning. Good morning. Hi, ladies. It's lovely to be here with you. As always, my name is Lissy. For those who don't know me, I am part of the leadership team here at Oasis, and always humbled and honored to bring a word to you. So if you will indulge me to pray one more time before we speak, that'd be great. Dearest Lord Jesus, we thank you for your lordship. We thank you for creating all that is. We thank you for the life you so generously offer to each one of us. And we thank you that you have specifically created each one of us just as we are in this time and place. And Lord, in our smallness, in our creatureliness, we long and desire to come to you and to be in right relationship with you. We long to be filled with you. So Lord, we just offer you our lives and ourselves and our hearts this morning and ask that you would speak deeply to each one of us. Amen. Okay, well, I did mention last week as we started Oasis about this notion of ordinary time, and that in the liturgical, the sort of high church formal calendar year, there are these two great seasons of celebration, which peak at Easter and at Christmas, and that more than half of the year is spent in ordinary time, the kind of everyday ins and outs, not very exciting life, really. And I love this idea, and I also love this really profound idea that we serve a God who chose to leave the glory of heaven and to take on all the limitations and shortcomings of the human reality. And I really love to sort of ponder on the notion of Christ being born into our world and how I, as an individual, can make space for Christ to be born into my life and my own heart. Now, that is a slightly heavy and full-on way to start a talk. Usually we start with a little light anecdote, but I will ask for your forgiveness because I kind of tend to occupy the deep, meaningful, heavy spaces of life. Ladies, I'm just seeing some of you are being completely blinded by the sun over there. There are a lot of seats that are not blinded in this front row and next to Amy, so if you want to move over, please feel free. Can we shut them? Are they shuttable? Fancy. Cool. Caroline will sort us out. Thank you, ladies. That's better. I know some of you were having to close your eyes there to keep going. Thanks, Caroline. That's fab. I was just praying there because I have been thinking a bit about how each of us is created so specifically and uniquely, and we are quite different. And I really am kind of, I don't know if any of you guys are into Myers-Briggs. Is anyone into Myers-Briggs? Hands up. Yeah. Okay, a couple. I've got a few fellow Myers-Briggs fanatics out there. I love sort of personality profiling and thinking about how we function differently and how our different temperaments make us unique and different in different ways. And I know that it's just part of my sort of temperament to love to go away and, as they say, to sort of ponder these big, deep things. So I really love to go away and pray. I love to go away to my room by myself to pray. I love to go away on retreat to pray. I love to go away for days at a time. And when I'm away for days at a time, I start to think like, oh, I really actually could have just been a hermit. I could have lived out here on this mountainside with no human interaction, having this spiritual experience for the rest of my life. But that is because I'm a very rare and unique kind of personality temperament type. Bit of an oddball, that's me. But I think maybe where I err is on the side of keeping God in this kind of cloistered and holy space. And I maybe struggle to bring God into the day-to-day reality that he has, in fact, blessed me with. In lieu of the hermit's life, I have been given children and Legos on the floor and dinner time meltdowns and swimming lessons and all this kind of busyness that life involves, really. And I guess the question that I really wanted to talk about today is, how do we bring God in to the kind of everyday reality that we live. And how do we make God part of the rushing out the door and the making dinner plans or whatever your day-to-day looks like? How do we bring God into that? So that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. And really, I think, as we think about sort of bringing the holy and the spiritual into our everyday circumstances, first we really have to look to Jesus, who is absolutely the master of this. I'm going to read to you a little bit about from this book by a New Zealand lady called Sue Pickering about spiritual direction. Excuse me, I need five hands here. This is how she talked about Jesus bringing the spiritual into the ordinary. This is what Jesus helped his followers to do. He used pieces of everyday experience and familiar objects to help people connect with God and discover more about themselves. Old and new wineskins, houses built on rock or sand, a fallen sparrow, light hidden or revealed, oil saved or squandered, seed scattered on paths or rocky ground or among thorns or in good soil, the stuff of everyday experience became the symbols that Jesus used to reveal more about the reality of God's invitation to abundant life. So we'll just hear something that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. This is a familiar passage. He said, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. Seek first the kingdom of God." Now, that's such a lovely passage, but what I really want to talk about is what Jesus is actually doing here while he talks, because he takes something very ordinary, the lilies of the field or the flowers of the field, and maybe if he were in Leamington, he would be talking about the daffodils or the lime trees. He's just talking about something very ordinary that he was probably standing in the field and just looked down and saw them, and he draws his attention to something extremely commonplace, and he encourages them to consider and take a long, loving look at what's really real, what's really around them. And then he asks people to start to make a connection. So first he connects them to something that they're familiar with from their faith tradition, Solomon in all of his splendor. I don't know who he would connect the splendor of the flowers to today. Maybe Bill Gates or somebody very wealthy, or maybe somebody, I don't know who he would. I'm not going to try. But then he asks them to make another connection. This time he connects this very real little thing to their relationship with God. And he encourages them to respond to God who cares for them. And then he encourages them to find rest in the God who loves them beyond all reason. So what a master Jesus is at taking something so ordinary and showing us this great truth about the kingdom of God in the middle of it. And I guess I just wonder, is it possible for us to do this kind of thing? Can we take the very ordinary comings and goings of our life and begin to see the truths of God in the middle of them? Is that possible? Well, we're going to talk about two very simple and humble and not mind-blowing, but just really straightforward and practical ways that we can bring God into our everyday circumstances. And the first thing we're going to talk about is keeping our hearts connected to God. And the second thing we're going to talk about is just reviewing the things that happen to us with God to be able to listen to what he's saying to us in them. So first, we're just going to talk about being connected to God. And Jesus really was the master of this. He was so deeply connected to God all the time. And we know that he went away, he retreated for prayer quite a bit. But we also get this sense that at any given moment, his heart really is deeply connected with his Father's. So often, he's engaging with people at such a deeper level than they are kind of expecting or trying to engage with him. He sort of says, he has these like really deep and profound questions for people. Like somebody walks up to him and he says, "What do you want?" He's kind of staring into their eyes and it's like really deep, "What do you want?" And they're just like, "Well, I just wanted to know." But he's got this really deep kind of level that he's at. Or somebody comes and says, please heal my friend. And they're thinking about the physical healing, and he's saying, your sins are forgiven. He's always just at this much deeper level, so we know that he's always really connecting with his Father God in his heart. And in fact, in many of his letters to the new believers, Paul encourages the believers, that includes us, to do the same, to be always connected to God in our hearts. He writes to the Do we have the verses that Paul wrote? He writes to the Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. He writes to the Colossians in chapter 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. He says, be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. And in verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So I just wonder, is this possible? Can we really be filled with the Spirit? Can we really rejoice always and pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances? Even when I'm like hustling coats onto small children and shouting at them to get in the car and flying down the road, can I be continually talking to God while all those crazy things are happening? Is that possible? But Paul said, this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So let's think a little bit about how we can really make that a reality, not just for the times when we're doing churchy type of things that feel spiritual, but really ordinary things. You know what takes up the ordinary comings and goings of your day. It will be maybe a bit different than mine. But how can we do all of those very ordinary things with and through and for the Lord? We're going to look back to a few sort of forefathers and mothers in our faith for some inspiration on this. And first, we're going to look back to the Shakers. I don't know if you're familiar with the Shakers, who were kind of an offshoot of the Quakers, and they went out to America. They did have some very, very extreme beliefs, including celibacy for all members, which is why there aren't very many of them left today. But they devoted themselves, amongst other things, to, they made furniture. So actually, you may have heard of the Shaker-style kitchen, really plain and beautiful and well-made furniture. And they had this motto, hands to work, hearts to God. And isn't that such a lovely way of thinking about it? No matter what my hands are doing, if I'm folding laundry or writing a speech or whatever you might be doing with your hands, with your body, that while you're doing that, that your heart might be given over to the Lord while your hands are given over to your work. Hands to work, hearts to God. And then we come along to Brother Lawrence, who I'm sure many of you know of. Brother Lawrence was a French Carmelite monk in the 17th century. He lived quite a while ago. He had rather funny haircut. But he was just a little monk in the kitchen, and he had such a lovely sense of how to offer all of his everyday work to the Lord and to be lost in prayer while he did his very practical work. So we're going to hear a number of sort of inspirational quotes from him and kind of really look at what he teaches. He has a lovely little book called The Practice of the Presence of God, which I imagine some of you have read and you may want to have a look at if you haven't, because he really is, he's just helpful on this topic, on this admonition from Paul to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here's what Brother Lawrence says to us. First of all, he really encouraged us to remember that God is always present with us. It's only necessary to realize that God is intimately present with us, to turn at every moment to him and ask for his help, to recognize his will in all things doubtful, and to do well all that which we clearly see he requires of us, offering what we do to him before we do it and giving thanks for having done it afterwards. In this unbroken communion, one is continually preoccupied with praising, worshiping, and loving God for his infinite acts of loving kindness and perfection. So we're just going to talk a little bit. We're going to tease that quote out a little bit. So in case you didn't catch it all, we'll talk a little bit more about it. So the first thing that he says really is that we just remember that God is intimately present with us all the time. And he talks about making a little chapel in your heart and going there, just going away to that little place in your heart, withdrawing to that little place in your heart from time to time to have gentle and humble and loving communication with him. So I don't know if there's if you can imagine in your heart like a little chapel, and what that looks like for you will be different for everyone. Maybe you can imagine a beautiful place that you've been to before where you've had some special prayer, or maybe, I don't know what the little chapel in your heart looks like, but you probably do. So maybe you want to think of that little place in your heart where the Lord lives, and just remember that no matter where you are, at any moment of the day, even if you're shouting at your children. Sorry, I'm taking a lot of examples from my own life here. Even if you're not in the best frame of mind, that little chapel is there, and you can go there at any time and chat with the Lord. So we start by simply remembering that God is with us. And I wonder, I think the problem for me is that I can remember to sort of go away and have my prayer time, but then I come out and it just gets so hectic and busy, and I kind of forget that God is with me all the time. So I was just thinking, how can we remember throughout the day that God is with us? Maybe we can put a little verse or a reminder at a place where we stand, like the kitchen sink or where we do the laundry, that reminds us that Paul says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Or maybe we could wear a piece of jewelry to help us remember that God is always with me. Or maybe we could set the lock screen on our phone to have a verse to help us remember that God is always with me. Or maybe we could just ask God to help us. Just if this is something you would like to do, if you'd really like to be in more communication with the Lord, just ask him to remind you that he's there, and he will. He will be faithful to remind you. So I thought maybe we could just pause for a minute here, and if you'd like to do this, you can. If you don't, that's absolutely fine. But if there's a part of your day or your week that's particularly busy, and you know for a fact that you generally live through that part of your routine without being very conscious of God's presence, let's think about what that might be, okay? So have a think about a part of your day or a part of your week where you are not particularly conscious of God. And I wonder if you can now imagine doing that thing or being in that place and seeing that God is there with you. And maybe the next time you do that, you'll remember that God is in fact there with you. And that maybe somehow you can be conversing with him and communicating with him while you're living through that. So first we remember that God is with us, and then we very simply and very humbly just turn towards him, and we just communicate with him. Brother Lawrence says, grow accustomed, little by little, thus to worship him, to ask for his grace, to offer him your heart from time to time in the course of your day, amid your labors, or at any time that you can. Do not fetter yourself with rules or special forms of worship. Just act in faith and with love and with humility. We might say, just talk to God. Just tell him whatever is on your heart. Just offer him yourself and your attitude and what you're doing and the outcome of it. And make this a habit. We just start to make this a habit. And Brother Lawrence does say a little perseverance is needed at first to form the habit of conversing with God all the time and referring all actions to him. However, after a little care, one felt stirred by his love without any trouble. So it's like anything. I don't know how you form habits. I think there are lots of different ways of forming a habit. And again, every temperament is going to be a wee bit different. Paul and I just started doing these like 30-day challenges, and I'm so jazzed about it. It completely suits me down to the ground. So we did 30 days of healthy eating in January, and I'm just like still going for it. I love it. It's like the new exciting thing in my life. And my 30-day habit for February is bedtime routine. So I've committed to flossing my teeth, total novelty, washing my face before bed, another total novelty, and doing this form of prayer that I'm going to talk about in a bit. So this is my next 30-day habit, bedtime routine. But maybe really being connected with God all the time is a habit that we could make an effort to get into and to move towards. So figure out what works for you for habit forming. There are lots of different ways. Google it. You'll find lots of options. Find yours and go for it. And once he's in this habit, Brother Lawrence says, I do nothing else but abide in God's holy presence. How amazing is that? And surely this is how Jesus lived. Jesus was always in God's presence. And you know, I just need to say, this is not only an option for super holy, amazing people. This is a humble and real way that we can choose to live if we want to. So it's choice. Do you want to live in God's presence? Maybe this is what Jesus is asking you. What do you want? Do you want to be in God's presence? Do you want his flow of grace more? All you have to do is open yourself up to it and invite him into the everyday moments of your life. So Brother Lawrence suggests that we offer him ourselves and our work. We ask for his guidance. You know, if we're all in kind of like minor quandaries every day of a different kind or sort, aren't we? And to just think to ask God for help. I was reflecting, I had a friend on the playground, just all of a sudden kind of just like all this stuff started spilling, and she was just telling me, you know, things, and you kind of sense she hadn't really said these things elsewhere, and it felt big. And it wasn't until like hours later after I'd made the dinner and blah, 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 that I was like, you know, I didn't even ask the Lord to be with me while I listened to her. What a wasted opportunity, you know? The Lord may have dropped some really helpful things into my mind. Instead, I just like blabbered. I don't know what I said. But let's just be in the habit of asking the Lord all the time, always having the Lord right there with us, always in communion with him, always asking for his guidance when we're not sure about something, and thanking him for every gift that he gives us. So our last quote from Father Lawrence, complete abandonment to God was the sure way and the one on which there is always light to travel. Isn't that beautiful? Complete abandonment to God was the sure way and one on which there was always light to travel. And it's available to all of us. So how do I become aware of God in my everyday circumstances? Well, one option is to really go for this just real communion, just talking to God all the time, offer him myself and my heart and my life at every moment of every day and being totally open to him. And the other thing I want to talk about is equally simple and not mind-blowing, and it's just about reviewing our day and our life with God, reflecting with God on all the things that have happened and how he's been there with us and what he's been doing with us. I guess I'm just really struck that life is so precious and so beautiful, and yes, we all struggle, and yes, some of us carry burdens that are very heavy. That's very real. But in the midst of that, somehow, there's hope, isn't there? And in the midst of that, God's Spirit is present, and God's kingdom is here. Jesus kept saying that. The kingdom of God is among us. The kingdom of God is at hand. About 14 times, Jesus said, with those who have ears to hear, hear. The truth is here, and the psalmist said, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, every day. In a new way, God is pouring out his grace and his life. He's the author of life and sustainer of life. And, you know, I believe that he not only created this whole beautiful world and each one of you and each one of us, but it's his very love, his very being that has you alive and here today. It's his love that keeps us going at every moment. It's given you the grace to have the wellness to be here in this room at this moment. God is so alive and so breathing his life and his hope into each of us. And yet, so often that just feels so sort of, I don't know, far away or impossible or maybe just kind of irrelevant. I don't know. Somehow we kind of lose sight of that so easily. And I just wonder, how, I mean, there are countless ways that God is revealing himself to us, but I wonder about these very ordinary things that Jesus used to show us the truth. If perhaps in the very ordinary things of our existence, he isn't still revealing truth and life and hope. So I just, the question, is it possible that the ordinary things in our lives might be able to illuminate truth? Sue Pickering again says, as we begin to develop an awareness that God can be found in the midst of ordinary routines, and as we realize that any aspect of daily life can be used to aid reflection and connection with God, life becomes a real adventure. We become aware of the unexpected moments through which the Holy Spirit may touch and teach us, using the most common symbols or the simplest events. So I just want to talk a little bit about sort of reflecting on things that have happened to us and how we can sort of see what God is doing or saying in the midst of those things. There are a few ways, really, that I practice reflecting. In fact, this is so nerdy, but as I reflected on reflection, I realized I really do reflect in a lot of ways. So there are a few ways that we can sort of reflect on our experiences and see how God is nudging us or leading us or drawing us or revealing himself to us. Now, one thing that I love, and I have definitely talked to you all about before, is the examine that Ignatius offered to us. And the examine is really just a way of praying, which involves sitting down and just thinking back over the events of maybe the day. Maybe you do it at lunchtime or in the evening, and you think back over what's happened today. You really put yourself in God's love and sort of imagine God there with you, really loving you. And then you think about what has happened today and in what places did I feel most alive? Where was I able to give and receive the most love? And where did I feel least able to give and receive love? And in so doing, you just start to really see where God's bringing you life and where God's not bringing you life so that you can emphasize really and spend your time and energy on the life-giving, God-giving things. Something that's come up for me is, as I've done the examine, is I've just kind of realized how precious the moments are to me when I'm really focusing my attention on my children, when I'm not just kind of like doing other things, but when I'm really being very present to them and actually playing with them and actually totally listening to them and doing whatever crazy, silly game they're asking me to do. When I really engage in that, I get so much joy from that. And yet I so seldom take the time to do it. But having reflected and realized how precious that is to me, then I can actually make an effort to do that and kind of literally build that into my week to just give myself to them for a particular period of time. And thereby do the thing where I feel God's bringing me life. So it's really helpful. The examine can be really helpful to say, when is God breathing his life into me, and how can I live more in those spaces where God is making me alive? So that's the examine. Other ways that I find really helpful to reflect are journaling. The last few months, I've kind of picked up my journal again, and I just find writing. I just write whatever comes to mind. I just write. There's no right way to do it, but just whatever comes, I just write. And I find that realizations come to me, and things become clear for me as I journal. So that's really helpful. I also have a couple of friendship groups that are really clear places for reflection and kind of bouncing back and forth what you're hearing and what's happening. And that's really helpful and precious. And also I have a spiritual director who is just this really special lady. I think she's in her 80s. She lives in Wellesbourne. I go to her house. She has this gorgeous little hut in her back garden, which is a prayer hut. And we go and sit in there, and she just listens to me. Just listens. And I just blab. And she's big on Brother Lawrence. In fact, she gave me all those quotes that I've just read to you. So she just has this really precious sense of faith, really. She's a very mature believer. She's done a lot and she's seen a lot. And she just listens and she bounces back where she sees life and encourages me forward. So I would really encourage you, if you don't have somebody like that in your life, to find somebody, a space where you can go and just reflect and talk about, where is God bringing me life, and where is God not bringing me life, and what do I need to lean into to grow more deeply into the Spirit? So that's that's all of what I really want to say to you, ladies. As I said, it's a pretty simple, straightforward message. But let's just open our hearts to God and let's build in space to reflect on where he is and what he's doing so that we can come more alive in him. So I thought it might be interesting just to take a moment. Sue Pickering in this book suggests that we didn't really talk about this Lectio Divina, but you know, that's where we read scripture very slowly and we listen to what God is saying through the scripture and how it applies to our lives. She suggests doing Lectio Divina with an experience in your life. So I thought we'd loosely try this. I will lead us through it now. We'll just take a few minutes in our response reflection to have a go at this and see if anything comes up. If nothing comes up, that's fine. You don't have to do it again, but we'll just have a go and see what the Lord might want to say to us. So we'll just have a few minutes of prayer. If you want to close your eyes, you can. If you don't want to close your eyes, you don't have to. But let's just get yourself into whatever space you need to be in the Lord's presence. And maybe just think of something that happened to you recently. Maybe it's something you're still sort of sifting through in your mind or trying to get your head around. Maybe it's something that surprised you or something that excited you or something that upset you. But maybe think about a relationship dynamic or an event that has happened recently that you'd like to pray with for a minute. So let's just open ourselves up to God's loving presence. The Lord is here. He is the giver and sustainer of life. He longs and desires for growing intimacy with each one of us and with you. And his desire is to restore you and to redeem you and to grow you into fullness of life. So just let his love pour over you. And just talk to him really naturally. I just encourage you to imagine him there with you and think back over this experience that you had recently or whenever it was. And just think about the things that happened in this experience with God and God loving you right there with you. And you might, as you're thinking over it, you might want to think about your initial reaction to the experience and why you reacted in the way that you did. And then just carry on thinking about the situation, remembering who God is and what you know of God. I wonder if there's anything new that you feel prompted to ask yourself about the situation. And I just really encourage you just to chat to God about it. Chat to God what you're discovering about yourself and about God. And just invite you to really rest again in God's love. To let yourself be open to the love of God, which is waiting to enfold you. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, give the Holy Spirit your consent to do his work in you. Some of you might just want to stay in that place of prayer. We're just going to sing one more song, so just feel free to keep praying or engaging with the song as you wish.